One of the main sources of dukkha for myself and that I create for others is my a tendency to judgmental, critical mind. So when that happens, I'm usually aware of the critical thinking. I'm aware of the aversion to the other person. I'm usually aware of the view or the value underlying the aversion. Occasionally, if I'm lucky, I'm aware of the emotion underneath that value. I'm often not aware of the aversion to the aversion. But I'd be interested to hear if Sayadaw has any suggestions for how to work with that.
Judgmental pitta. Tachalu, Macaumina, Tatumiao led Oka Pisire. Dissego to Miene, Navro. Doromiamiaka, to a dissay an alma by idea she led to Tile. To say about Tambotalo di how to a or Tabro, Macaumian lesser to Nalenere. Kankawi, any alma by she let, say Kanzamu she let it. Tama to Doromiamiana, dissego to Piamachita,
the ဥစဉ်တရားဘာပြောစရာရှိလဲလို့သိချင်လို့ဘလို့ဆရာကြီးဒါတော့အဲ့ချိန်မှာဖြစ်တဲ့စိတ်ချင်းတွေလို့လေ့လာဒါပဲရှိတယ်နိုင်တယ်လို့သူမြင်နိုင်မှာ
What you can do on a practical level is just be aware of what is happening as much as possible and to the degree possible for you at that time. And of course, the goal is to know everything possible about the mind and its, you know, the causes, the effects, and the environment at that time in the mind. And at that time, rather than get into the story of who and so on, he says it's more about the, you know, the inner mental workings.
Yeah, he says
our unhappiness or our happiness is always our own responsibility. It has only to do with what's happening in our own mind. So the answer is within.
Thank you.
Today in the morning, my mind wanted to plan something. And I knew that when I let this thought growing, that it will be very difficult and defilements might arise. But I considered to plan, because even in daily life I also have to plan, so I thought it would be a good opportunity to try it here and try to stay mindful. But within the planning, or even after it, there was fear of losing mindfulness. And when I stopped the planning, the fear hit me so strongly that I really lost mindfulness. And even though the fear to stand up and do the daily schedule was in the end the hit that was so strong that I lost the mindfulness then. I guess it's something to observe and learn, but maybe for this planning mind that needs so much concentration and it's very focused on one thing, maybe there's advice from Sayadaw how to handle a planning mind mindfulness with mindfulness.
So, the name of the planning low aromali. Tamatu chow needed a planning low in the luma solo. Era planning low nero or low beer to a chow sick up under. Low beer at him, but how chow lesser at him a chow low the deal look over it. To a daily schedule line up or sick at chow nero. The deed have you lo meow. And to have your a mar or low ame, planning a low ame.
Oh, my low ame,
Tibet.
ဒီလာထားပလန်နင်းလဲလုပ်လို့လုပ်လို့ရမလဲအဲ့အလေးချင်းပဲပေါ့စိတ်ကိုကြည့်တဲ့အလေးချင်းများလားအမစိတ်ကိုအမြင်နဲ့ပလန်နင်းလုပ်မှမဟုတ်တခြားအတွေးတွေလည်းပလန်နင်းလုပ်နေစိတ်ကတွေးတာပဲအတွေးကိုကြည့်တဲ့အလေးချင်းလုပ်လို့ပဲပြန်ပြန်ကြည့်တဲ့အချင်းလုပ်လို့ပဲစိတ်ကပါပြောနေတယ်ဖြစ်ရပါစဉ်းစားနေလဲ
Yeah the skill is to learn how to be aware of thinking mind because planning is also a type of thinking mind. So not only when you're planning, but in every, like you, first you try to be aware all day long as much as you can. And then as often as you can, you know, bring awareness to thinking when you recognize there's thinking so that the mind knows how to be aware of thinking. Then he says it will naturally then also filter into being aware of planning when it arises because it's just another type of thinking. And there's no need to be afraid to lose mindfulness because we will lose mindfulness. And when we're not skillful yet, we will lose mindfulness. So what? He said, if we lose mindfulness and we remember, once we remember, he says, just start being mindful again. There's no need to cry over the loss. There's no need to lament the loss.
Lo doi bian tha bo.
Yeah. Whenever you remember, just be mindful again. That's all.
Ma chuan chin ni de chei ma lo thong san lo di lo ba be. Ho a sa a thu ka sa ma sai ku chu ba le ma chuan chin de so yin khana khana lo ma be.
In the beginning when we start trying to practice in life, he says we will lose mindfulness all the time. Because we're not skillful at knowing the mind.
Yeah.
In life, we have to do what we have to do, and then we also have to try to be mindful. Just take it as it comes.
Thank you.
Oh, bhavana khete sura. Bhavana khete sura. Ali chin ne khete.
Yeah, he says bhavana, cultivation, is difficult when there's not enough practice, i.e. time spent on it. So once we have had enough, once we've put in enough hours to become skillful, then we will become skillful.
Okay, can I? Mm-hmm. Yeah. It happens to me a lot that there comes some thought to do something because of compassion, because of empathy. And then sometimes I can observe that really fast when I start to think how to help someone or something, greed comes. Greed and some self, the ego, starts to show off. And I don't think it's good and to act with the greed, with the ego. And so now and then I try to just, thanks to Sadhu's advice, to just stay with the greed and watch it and wait till it fades and then think again how can I act differently, and mostly it changes the way how I help, and it's mostly better, but often there is no time to wait. You just either act right now or it doesn't matter. So if there is some advice how if just whatever. Think if there is something special to it.
tu tak kali geruna sei ne ko jin sa re sei ne tu lu rio tana lu geruna
kunyi
ho ti ko jin sa lu kunyi pe jin ne sa ra di sei ne sa ra pi yin ne loba win law ta lu chin ne
hale
အဲ့တော့သူမှတ်မိတယ်လောဘနဲ့လို့အချိုးရှိမကောင်းတတ်ဘူးအဲ့တော့သူလောဘကိုရှုလို့ရှုတယ်တဲ့ဒီမှာရှုတာဖြစ်မှာပေါ့အဲ့တော့သူရှုတယ်ရှုလို့လောဘရော့သွားပြီဆိုရင်သူပြန်စဉ်းစားတယ်ဘယ်လိုလုပ်သင့်လဲအဲ့ဒါဆိုရင်လည်းအမြဲပိုကောင်းတယ်တဲ့ဒါပေမဲ့ဘဝမှာဆိုရင်အမြဲအချိန်မရှိဘူးတဲ့ကိုကအခုလုပ်ရင်လုပ်မဟုတ်ရင် chance ကမရှိတော့ဘူးအဲ့တော့ဘယ်လိုလုပ်ရမလဲ
အဲ့တော့အလေးချင်းပဲမြန်တွန်းချင်တာမြန်ဖို့များများလှုပ်လိုက်မဖြစ်ဖြစ်မြန်လာမှာပေါ့အ
ဲ့တော့အစမှာတော့
ဒီလိုပဲလှုပ်
တိလက်တိလှုပ်လဲလှုပ်ပေါ့လောဘရှိပေမဲ့လောဘကို
တိလို့လှုပ်နိုင်တော့ပဲဆက်လှုပ်နိုင်တော့ပဲဆက်လှုပ
် He says when yes in life often we don't have enough time but he says then you just do what you know you can do at that time and you know there's greed watch the greed at the same time so you're doing with greed and watching the greed while you're doing over and over again every time you do it you watch every time you do it you watch and watch and watch and then the mind becomes more skillful it either the greed will go away faster or it will understand you know
something ဒါပေမဲ့နောက်ကြတော့ကိရိတာနေရဥပါနေရရောက်လာသူပဲနေရဥပါတယ
်
ဆတော့တော့ကုသိုလ်စိတ်နဲ့ဥပမာဂရုဏာဖြစ်လို့ဂရုဏာနောက်ဒေါ်လာလိုက်လာ
Yeah အဲ့တော့ရှုပေါ့လောက်ရင်နဲ့လည်းရှု
အဲ့လိုပဲရှုနေ
Yeah so he says yeah the defilements are very tricky they're very quick they you know even though we start off with a wholesome intention unwholesome motivations can come in while we're in the midst of doing it he says just all you can do is continue doing the work but know the whole unwholesome be aware of the unwholesome in the
same time. Tadinya a kaung la lo shi yin no tu ba ho tai win kwe mi ya do
and then once the practice gains momentum doing that he says then the unwholesome will slowly not have so much power to come in because you've been watching it so much
lu to ro mya mya lo lou ni ba le kaung la li lo lou ni ba da mae tadinya swae ma swae mye de kha ja do sa no lo kutu ne sa da ba naw do a kutu lo lwa mo do
Yeah, he says a lot of us, you know, we want to do wholesome things. We start off doing wholesome things, and then we don't notice when the unwholesome starts creeping into the wholesome activity because there's not enough awareness and wisdom while doing the wholesome activity. Yeah.
Okay.
I have a similar question, and it was a specific situation I'm thinking of. I was walking on the street, seeing a man, a father who has beaten his child, and he started bleeding. And the child said, "I'm bleeding." As you know, he was angry, very angry, and he said, "No, you're not bleeding," and pulling his child. And I was watching this scene, and. Aversion arose and I was in a kind of about doing something or not and this in the end it passed by very quickly and my mind went like doing something about it with aversion it probably makes it all worse so I did nothing afterwards a woman passed by and said hey, we have to call the police So we did that, but it's a little bit similar, and I don't know if it would have been better to interfere in that situation with an aversive mind.
Huh?
Or
so the other thing that happened was that Louis Tiao got lame, but to Tali, he ain't there. To eat it well, or the conversation, I love him too. Tali, to eat it well, because he can to be a below the other people, so. နေသွေးမထွက်ပါဘူးဆိုဆက်ရိုက်နေတယ်တဲ့အဲ့ဒါသူတို့ကလမ်းလျှောက်ပြီးဖြတ်နေတာသူစိတ်ထဲမှာမြင်တာဒေါသဖြစ်တယ်တဲ့ဒေါသဖြစ်တော့ तू တခုခုပြောနေတယ်တဲ့ဒါပေမဲ့သူစိတ်ထဲမှာဒေါသကိုသိနေတော့ तू ဒေါသနဲ့သွားပြောမိရင်ပိုဆိုးသွားမလားမသိဘူးတဲ့အဲ့တော့ तू ဘာမှမလုပ်ဖဲနေသလိုဖြစ်နေတယ်တဲ့နောက်ပြီးတော့အမျိုးသမီးတယောက်ကဟိုဘက်ကနေလာနေတော့အဲ့အမျိုးသမီးလက်တွေ့တော့သူ့ကိုတွေ့တော့ तू လည်းအဲ့ရအောင်ရှိနေတာတွေ့တော့သူတို့ political call တင်နေဆိုတော့သူတို့ political call လိုက်တယ်တဲ့ဒါပေမဲ့သူစိတ်ထဲမှာစဉ်းစားရတယ်အဲ့လိုမျိုးကိုကအချိန်ကြီးတိုးတိုးလေးသူတို့ကဖြတ်သွားပြီကိုလုံးတင်မလုံးတင်နောက်ပြီးတော့ဒေါသနဲ့လုံးလုံးရ
င်ဒေါသနဲ့တော့ဘယ်တော့မှလုံးလို့အကျိုးမရှိဘူ
း
လုံးချင်ရင်လုံးတင်နေတော့လုံးတင်ရင်တော့မှဒေါသမရှိမှပါစဉ်းစားပြီးလုံးအောင
် Yeah he says
ကုညီလို့တော့ရပါတယ်ဒုက္ခရောက်နေတော့ကုညီနိုင်တော့ကုညီလို့တနည်းနည်းနဲ့ကုညီလို့ရပါရက်သွားအောင်သူလုံးလို့ရဒါပေမဲ့ကိုဒေါသဖြစ်ပြီးဒေါသနဲ့လုံးရင်တော့ပူဆိုးတာကိုရှိ
Yeah we can help he says and But we need to use our wisdom so that the help is effective, right? So even if we are having some anger, maybe there's also wisdom that we can draw on, but, you know, not to act out of the anger, but to act out of wisdom. He says, whatever we do, you know, if the action comes purely from the defilement, it's not going to have a good result.
When kunyi tin yin naw ma kunyi tin yin naw ma
kunyi tin ne
kunyi tat aw ma kunyi nai ne a chei ni shi ma.
Yeah, he says
down in memo chi ya ti de kunyi chin lo sop win lai lai to nyan a ne to ja ma phit bu.
Yeah, there are so many conditions like we want to help but and then maybe we should help. But then can we help? Do we know how to help?
You know there's a blaw shi la.
Do we have the power to help? There are so many conditions that need to come together.
Mm. Problem I had.
Sometimes we want to help so much, there's so much greed that we rush in. And sometimes that can be a mistake. He says, at the very least, you know, he says maybe you try and stop the harm from happening, but he says it will only be as effective as the conditions are on your side, you know? Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
Chao ma le du yo le ma song kan do ya phu khle du yai no phu ya to khu lou chin pyo chin ဟုတ်ညာတို့ကတန်းစွန်းနဲ့တွားနေတော့အဲ့လိုပဲစိတ်ထဲမှာဖြစ်တာပေါ့
Yes
ဆရာညာတွေမှာဖြစ်မှာများ
Sierra says when they walk through the village for alms round in the center and sometimes they're going on alms round people are giving food and then some households the you know there's a little slapping around happening you know some child is getting slapped around by the father or the mother or an elder and often for the foreign monks it's a source of emotion you know they feel like they need to say something or do something and they you know don't know what to say or whether it's appropriate so he says if we want to help first we have to become masters of our own defilements he's going to tell you his story His mom and his sister were having a big fight one day, well, one night. Crying and shouting and screaming at each other. He thought he needs to stop this. And he thought, how should I do it?
Yeah.
So he says there's a fire going on and there's danger that he'll catch fire when he goes in, particularly if he takes sides. Yeah. So he had to put on
fireproof
clothing, he said. So his fireproof clothing was first, because it causes some agitation in his own mind, so first he looked at his own mind. And he kept watching until he felt really calm. And cool. And then he looked at his motivation and what his intention is. Like where does he need it to go? And he set his intention, which was just that they needed to stop fighting now. So he didn't need anybody to be right or wrong. He just needed to get them apart. If he goes into the judgment bit of it, he said it was just going to get worse. So he wasn't going to go there. So he set his intention. clearly. And then he watched his mind. He watched that state of calm, and he approached them and kept watching that state as he spoke to them. And he had to keep watching his mind continuously. And he knew who he could, you know, he also knew their character, who he could persuade to do something or not. Yeah, so, you know, he told his mother to watch her mind and stop talking. He says the problem is that they won't stop saying things to each other, and each word is escalating another word from the other. So, but he knew his mother would listen to him, and so he just concentrated on her and telling his sister it was all right and calming his mother and watching his mind all the time, and then brought his mother to another room actually.
Yeah,
he says after the whole thing was over and they were all in separate rooms and they was cooling down on their own, he felt quite satisfied because he hadn't got more agitated. He was still calm. So it's like it's exercising, you know. It's exercising, putting it into practice. Yeah, so that's also a training, you know. Every time you... Yeah, he said he could have not got involved, you know. They would have run out of steam at some point.
But he tried it out.
He thought he needed to keep himself calm. He needed to, get them to stop. Just so that they wouldn't suffer so much, you know. Yeah, he felt quite sorry for them. Okay.
Well, my question is, yesterday when I was meditating, at one point it came to me to ask for more wisdom. And I just wanted to see, because it almost was becoming like a prayer, in a sense. Well, it's asking. So I just wonder what... So that was thoughts are on that.
Can I just ask, how did you ask for more wisdom? Can you tell me the words?
There wasn't really, I don't know if it was expressed in words.
Okay. You just sort of, made a sort of like intention towards it.
Intention, yes.
Okay. So why do you say that it feels like a prayer?
Well, because then I afterwards then thought, I thought of somebody and their situation, and I was sort of almost like praying for them, for their situation. So it changed from actually just asking for more wisdom to sort of almost sort of praying for somebody else. So I just wanted to ask how that actually... Or is there a place for that in the practice?
So you're actually sort of making a wish for somebody else to have some relief by their getting some wisdom, sort of thing?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, okay. So I'm going to ask you a question. I'm going to ask you a question. I'm going to ask you a question. ပါစကလုံးတုံးလဲဆိုတော့စကလုံးတုံးတော့မဟုတ်ဘူးတဲ့ဆိုတော့တပြော့ပြောအဲ့တော့ဘာလို့ဆူတောင်းတယ်လို့ပြောတယ်ဘာဆွတော့တဲ့သူကအဲ့ချိန်မှာသူညံတောင်းတယ်လို့ဖြစ်တယ်အချိန်မှာသူတချို့တယောက်ယောက်ကိုတတိယရတယ်တဲ့ဘယ်လူလဲလူလားလူတွေလားမသိဘူးအဲ့ဒီလူတွေကိုသူတတိယတော့သူတို့ကောင်းစေခြင်းနဲ့စိတ်ဖြစ်တယ်အဲ့တော့တပြော့ပြောတယ်အဲ့တော့သူကဟိုညံတောင်းတယ်ဆိုတာသူတို့လဲညံရှိပါစေသူတို့တက်တော
So in a way, you're wishing them well. Having metta towards them. Right? When you wish somebody else well, when you wish them to have more ease, you know, and so on, when you wish them well, that's metta, wanting people to be at ease and have well-being.
Right?
Sorry. He said, Sera said that, so if you feel metta for the person, did I turn it off? No. If you feel metta for the person, then you can either, you know, one is you're wishing them well, and you can do other things, you know, you can, if you meet them, maybe you can speak to them, share your wisdom with them, or if there's something you can physically do to help them.
Oh,
but as far as getting wisdom, as far as getting more wisdom is concerned, he says, well, just wanting more wisdom won't get it. The right conditions must come together for wisdom to arise, right? Although he says there must be. Or maybe that's how you mean it. He says the other thing is that one of the conditions for wisdom to arise is that the mind must be directed towards having wisdom. That is its goal. So the mind sort of is set in that direction. As an aspiration or a directed intention. And that definitely is one of the conditions that will help wisdom to arise. He says, like all of us practice because we want to understand more. So.
I suppose it didn't really arise yesterday, but if it turned into desiring something positive for oneself, that's mm-hmm. maybe when it might become a little bit more tricky.
Because
it's for yourself as opposed to.
Mania chara tu ko tu atwe kaun na takhu phit se jin na sei phit de le. Ara chara nen ne tricky phit de. Ba chang le so ro nga pa ni de. Nga atwe so ro tacha lu atwe ko a po bro lo lo la la mitta shi nai ne. Ko atwe chara nyi ni la bo.
Mitta sa po yin khuna bro ko yin sa po wa lu pyo la. Ko bo ko yin sa po pi ma lu myaw po a lu lo.
But, yeah, not necessarily, because even in the practice of metta, the first person, I think that we're supposed to send metta to is ourselves. The first person to send metta to is me, when you do the practice of metta. Metta practice, formal metta practice, you have to, you're sending metta to the concepts, right? You have to think about people, persons, and I am one of those. Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay.
I wanted to check something that I've heard so many times, and I just wanted to clarify because I think I'm understanding it better for myself. I'm understanding it better for myself now. I had this idea that you had to restrain the mind from what it wanted to help it let go of what it is attached to. Okay. And you take it out of its comfort zone, and if it's difficult, that's bringing up the defilements, and you can work with them more clearly. This was my idea. Now I'm starting to see that it's beneficial to change the external conditions if they will help create internal conditions to support learning and interest, and the internal conditions could be, you know, relaxation, contentment, all of those things. So I'm thinking of the pink farting nun.
The what?
Pink farting nun from yesterday.
What?
I'm thinking.
Oh.
And I'm thinking that that was an example where you could change the external conditions to support good internal conditions for practice, so that through those, through that relaxation will come interest and learning, and then eventually understanding will develop so that you will the mind will naturally let go. You haven't had to make it let go, and it will come through real understanding. I just wanted to check. I know this is written up everywhere, but I just wanted to check.
Okay. Tu wa da mejin lo re tu mne ya me re tu nen ne ro na le la bi re tu wa asa ma tu tin na sait ko sait lo jin na au ko wa ma ya au ta tha le re a ra so yin sait ka oh blo kham le po yin jet me bo di tu dukkha ro khan a me da mae ho လောဘကိုထင်းထိုင်ကိုကလွတ်ချလို့ရတဲ့စိတ်ဖြစ်လာမယ်လို့ထင်တာလေ
ထင်းထိုင်ရုံနဲ့ပဲရမ
ယ် Yeah, restraining alone does not help the mind to understand how to let go.
ဖျားမင်းစိမပရိပ္ပာခေါ်တာလေထိဖိထားရင်လည်းဒါဟိုအကန်အတကီလိုမီတာဖြစ်သွားအဆွန်းတစ်ဖက်ရောက်သွားမယ်လွတ်ပေးရင်လည်းကာမတုကနုယောဂအဆွန်းတစ်ဖက်ဖြစ်သွားမယ
် Yeah, the Buddha talked about two extremes. And the middle way. And the extreme of suppression is called Attakilamasa,
New Yoga.
Yeah, Attakilamata or something. I can't say it right. And the other extreme is called Kamasukhalika, New Yoga. Yeah, so one is the extreme of suppressing and the other is the extreme of indulging. And the Buddha said, that you have to understand the extremes and come to the middle way.
So anything that is
so, you know, if we practice without eating, sleeping, you know, and, you know, a lot of sensory deprivation that is not actually supportive to that particular mind, then it goes to the extreme of suppression.
So when you say that particular mind, anything that may be causing the mind to be stressed in a way that it's then not open to learning will be pushing it too far.
Yeah. Ero di sika stress ya la tu o pizi mua o ama tau nai lao ang bo o tingan sa ma yu nai nai lao ang
yan pi kwa ma pi lo yan pi kwa ma pi lo to a ne pi ya pi da de to yan yan pi kwa ma ya.
Yeah, if it's to the degree that it's actually blocking wisdom from arising, yeah, then it's not right. So the middle way is determined by wisdom, what is suitable, beneficial.
So you may be able to test yourself a little, but you have to be careful to see, is this actually developing more wisdom, or is it just withstanding rather than understanding?
Right. အဲ့တော့ကိုကကိုဟာကိုတည်ရမယ်ကိုစမ်းလို့စမ်းကြည့်လို့ရတယ်ဒါပေမဲ့စမ်းကြည့်ရင်ကိုကတည်ရမယ်ဒါကိုကခနိုင်ခံဘက်ခံနေလားတကယ်ညံဖြစ်လားညံဖြစ
်လားကိုကအဓိကတော့ကိုကကိုစမ်းရအောင်ကိုကကိုစုံစမ်းရမှာ
That is exactly right. We always have to investigate our own circumstances and determine whether nice words, whether understanding arises or just withstanding happens. Yes.
ကိုအထုတ်ကကြွန့်ကျင်လာလို့စိတ်ကိုနိုင်နေလာပြီရှုရတာကြွန့်ကျင်လာပြီဆိုရင်တော့ဒုတင်တွေပဲလှုပ်ကြည့်လို့ရ
Yeah. He says when some people, when they, you know, they develop their mind and they feel quite strong, some try these, what are called more extreme practices, you know, ascetic practices and stuff. But only when you're really skillful, when your mind is
capable of it.
In the meditation world, he says, in Burmese it said that you should, you know, there is a way of expressing, saying that you must strive, you know, like let your bones become dust and your blood dry up, but you know you will not give up. But he says, really, if you don't have the skill, your bones will wither and your blood will dry up, and that's all you'll get, you know? You have to have the skill, yeah. Yeah, as you get skillful, you can stretch yourself, challenge your boundaries.
ตะคานก็พ้นอินเตอร์บาร์ล่ะอัธรมั้ยสรุปจ้างละอัธรมั้ยตัวจ้างละบ่อัธรมั้ยไม่ทันไม่ไอ้มันไอ้บันทันอัธรมั้ยครับเนี่ยไม่ยะดีวูเพียๆๆเน้นๆๆๆจินโตตะคานั้นมันลงเนี่ยอสมาฉิ่งมาไม่ใช่ดีมันยะอูเตี้ยลงมาสรุปลงตูญะยะตั้วจี้แล้วบ่ลงทันอยู่ไงไอ้เปียวเนี่ยเจ้าก็เนาะอิ่งปาๆๆมันน่ะไปทันได้ตูไงดอกล่ะ
Yeah, he says there was a monk at the center who came very enthusiastic and he really wanted to do the all-night sitting practice. And the Seattle said to him, don't just go for it all at once. He said, build it up slowly. Like, you know, make sure you're awake at night and alert at night. And if you are, then you push an hour. Then if you're able to do that and you're still awake and alert, push another hour, like that, slowly. But the monk was adamant about just going all-nighters. And he went to check on him one night. He said he was asleep. He was sitting asleep. And he says what was bad was that then it became a habit for him to sleep when sitting. So then after a while, in the daytime, he was also sleeping when sitting. So he'd always be swaying.
Like,
yeah, kind of be like a bird, you know, hooked into himself, his head.
Yeah.
So nature has its own ability. You know, naturally we have some ability, and if we want to stretch that ability, we have to go with the flow of nature. We have to push it gently, slowly, strengthen it. It's like a muscle, right? You exercise it. When you got stronger, you can take on a heavier weight. Otherwise, if you go too heavy all at once, you tear a muscle, right?
Yeah,
right? So don't harm yourself. Yeah? Build slowly. Okay.
ဒိဋ္ဌံလည်းတချို့ဒိဋ္ဌံဆိုရရှိတယ်ဒိဋ္ဌံဆိုတော့ကိုနိုင်တာတဲ့နည်းနည်းပူရဲဟောဒိဋ္ဌံမနိုင်တဲ့ဟာတွားဒိဋ္ဌံဒိဗ္ဗေမရှိဖြစ်တော့
One of the perfections, the paramis is adhiṭṭhāna. I think we call it determination sometimes. But Seattle says when we want to make adhiṭṭhānas for ourselves, we should make adhiṭṭhānas for things that are a little bit more than what we are able. A little bit more. So we're stretching, you know, challenging ourselves a little bit. So it's still attainable and possible. He says, it's ridiculous to make an adhiṭṭhāna for something that's out of reach. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if this is a valid question, but I'll try it. In this kind of practice, we focus on the mind, and if I understand it right, we purify the mind so that we can take more and more pure objects. The mind can take more pure objects until we finally can take the purest object somewhere in the future. But in other kinds of vipassana practice, you don't focus on the mind, you focus on the objects and try to see them more and more clearly so that, yeah, the reality becomes more apparent. But is the idea then that by focusing on the object, the mind will, as the object becomes more clear, the mind will become more pure? Or just comparing, I don't know if you can answer it, but do you understand my question?
I do. Tu mere. Atong mu ma bo, tiya ma, yiwe je ka, ayong po po, tansin la re ayong wo, tiyin ne, nao song, tansin song, ayong wo, ti la po po, ne ba. Ero, တခြားအထုတ်မှုတွေမှာသူတို့ကအာစိတ်အကြောင်းသိမပြောဟိုစိတ်စင်ကြဲတဲ့အကြောင်းသိမပြောသူတို့ကအာယုံအကြောင်းမပြောရတယ်သူတို့ကအာယုံကိုကြည့်ရင်နဲ့အာယုံကို potential line အာယုံကိုကြည့်လိုက်ရင်တဘောကအာယုံက It gives a simple analogy. You can see clearly when your eyesight is good. So it's... So when you watch an object, it's never because the object becomes clearer that you see it more clearly. It's because the mind is becoming more clear that it can see the object more clearly. The object that we know always matches the quality of the mind that is knowing it. When the mind is pure, then the object is pure. When the mind is pure, it gets the object that it deserves. When the sati samadhi panya in the mind, the wholesome qualities in the mind are strong, then that mind is able to, has the power to know the objects that match its purity. If you look at the Patimokkha, if you look at the Patimokkha, this is the it's said to be the advice of all the Buddhas. Like every single Buddha has always talked about the Patimokkha, and the words of the Patimokkha are do good, avoid do all good, right? Avoid all evil, purify the mind. Doesn't say anything about the objects.
Thank you.
But in meditation, if the mind is only directed to see the object, and also if the object gets described to us, like when the object, you know, when it's like, if I use your words, when the object is more pure, it will be seen like this, and like this, then what the mind can do, and because the mind has this power, is it can create this experience for itself, particularly if you get enough concentration. So then, you can have experiences that you have created for yourself because you want to see that, so you will see it. But without really knowing what you're doing in the mind, yeah? Because you're just looking at the object.
He says, if you take a simple example of when we begin practice and we pay attention to ourselves, we see our feet moving, our hands moving, the abdomen rising and falling. And he says, as yogis continue practicing, and if they're practicing correctly, he says, sati, samadhi, panya increases, the mind becomes steadily more stable and settled. And then what happens is yogis experience that they're no longer looking at the form of the abdomen, for example. They just feel the movement. And this is because... This is because of the development of the mind. The qualities in the mind, the sati, samadhi, panya has grown, the settling of the mind has grown. And when the mind is more subtle this way, it sees something more subtle, which is just the reality and not the concept, which is more gross. And then he says, even like recognizing the knowing itself, he said, that's very subtle. And after all, you cannot see the knowing, you can only know the knowing.
Now, so
yeah.
Knowing the mind, in the beginning of the practice, he says it's not easy to recognize the mind or know the mind because the mind feels fleeting, ephemeral, abstract, not very concrete, I mean, because it's not. But as you continue practicing and there's more wisdom, there's more understanding of how the mind works and all, it begins to feel almost like you can grasp and comprehend the mind very concretely. It feels that clear. But the mind is still as fleeting as ever, but the mind's ability to know itself, it becomes just that much more clear.
No. She said finish. Just joking. TV game was out.
You emphasize very strongly that the practice is all about understanding the phenomena as natures. Indirect awareness or through direct awareness. So the Buddha also, when he talked about reality, he talked about the Four Noble Truths, dependent arising, and the characteristics, the three characteristics, right? So you always emphasized the three characteristics, the understanding of the three characteristics. Anatta. Right. So how do these other understandings come in? Are they just for him general contemplations of the Four Noble Truths, of the dependent arising? Or are they also becoming evident through this direct awareness of phenomena?
Yes, they can arise. All these insights are within the realm of understanding things as it is. Every single one of these things that you've talked about is as it is. And so, yes, as you observe phenomena, view everything as nature, any one of these understandings can arise. The Four Noble Truths, dependent arising, the three characteristics, one or two or three of them, any of them can be understood.
Experience ma pa pi da ni khu na byaw thulo Four Noble Truths ti chin la ma kikire daw shu shu na le na le nai na be.
All these things that are spoken about, you know, the Four Noble Truths, dependent arising, and the three characteristics are all characteristics of the nature embedded in the experience, in the phenomena. It is the very phenomena that has all these characteristics. Therefore, it can be understood by observing. So it gives a simple example. And then, of course, the level of understanding, when you have an insight into it, is different from just looking at it and contemplating, but you have the Four Noble Truths. Say there is a defilement, and you're observing the defilement. The first is the truth of suffering, and it's causing you suffering. The second is the way leading to the suffering, right? The reason for the suffering. That's the defilement, which is causing the suffering. Then there is the way to the end of suffering. You're observing the defilement. And then that's the Noble Eightfold Path we're practicing. And then
when we're able to deal with the defilement because understanding has arisen or because samadhi has made it go, you know, decrease, or, you know, one of the mechanisms have operated and the defilement goes away, then that's the end of that suffering. As far as the like the three characteristics are concerned, all of us have heard of the three characteristics, definitions and so on. He says, but when we begin practicing, the most important part of practicing is actually practicing to learn to become more efficient, effective, and skillful at the practice. So that's what Siado's main purpose is to teach us to become effective at our own practice. He says, because when we have an effective practice, the practice will speak for itself. You know, he will teach us how to fish, then we can fish.
Point. He talks a lot about these natures or processes and the not-self. Mm-hmm. He's not talking much about dukkha.
No.
So I will be interested how he exactly understands dukkha in that context, because dukkha is the second understanding after the impermanence understanding.
Suffering dukkha dukkha lo pyo da mo tu ma di ta ma ka che
dukkha
dukkha dukkha da lu dai ti de dukkha da ba khan sa mu dukkha ba lu dai ti de de dukkha di de ma ka net de de
vipri
na ma na dukkha lo tinkara dukkha lo so chi de a lo khun na pyo de lo di ya o sin sa khan ya di chan da la yu ba lo dukkha lo mi
a lo
du ri ya chaung lo
tu
tin na sin ye ma dukkha le
Siado doesn't talk about suffering very much because the way people understand dukkha is how we understand the translated word, which is suffering. And that doesn't encompass the total meaning of the word dukkha. And so dukkha has three levels. The first level is dukkha, which is what we understand, feeling suffering, feeling dukkha. But then there is there's viparinama dukkha, and then there's sankhara dukkha, and that's dukkha at a more abstract level, where it may not be that you feel suffering, but then you understand something about the nature of sankhara, you know, about phenomena. Siado says sometimes he asks yogis when they say that they're having very good samadhi, piti, and so on, then he asks them, so can you tell that piti, which feels wonderful, that samadhi, which feels lovely, is dukkha? And clearly, you know, that's not everybody's understanding. But it's interesting to sometimes drop the question in, just to get the mind familiar to the concept. But, you know, the understanding is something I think you can't quite describe in words.
Now, rising and passing will
Siado also does not talk about impermanence too much because, again, when we talk about impermanence, the most common description of it is arising and passing away. But he says seeing things arise and pass away doesn't always invoke in us a deep understanding that things are impermanent.
And you might not even need to see arising and passing away to understand that things are impermanent. Again, from person to person, when an insight arises, what you experience is completely subjective. It just depends on the person and what their conditions were at that time. Some people might not even see arising and passing away. They might see things changing, and then they understand things are impermanent. When there are fewer defilements in the mind, when the mind is more stable and is ready to understand, sometimes anything can trigger an understanding. So Seattle doesn't like to talk about it because it